I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
For the first time in 13 years, the co-hosts of Gamertag Radio are going to have the first live recording in front of an audience during PodFest 2018. This live recording event is free to attend February 9th, 2018 from 6 to 7 p.m. It's going to take place at PodFest Multimedia Expo 2018 in Orlando, Florida. See Paris, Pete, and Danny live at PodFest 2018. For more information, head over to gamertagradio.com or podfest.us.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Worldwide.
Podcasting since 2005.
Take it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Back on the scene.
With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 732. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, Paris. What's going on, Paris? What's up?
Hey, good morning. It's good. I'm too bad I missed Wednesday's episode because there was a lot to talk about. I listened to you guys talk about it, and I was screaming at my iPhone the whole time. I go, no, I got an opinion on this, and I couldn't say anything.
Oh, man. No, but I mean, we could talk about that later, because I know a lot of people want to hear your opinion about the news last week that we talked about on the podcast. It was two things. It was Xbox Game Pass and also Anthem, delaying and stuff. So we're going to talk about a couple other things, and we also have a review of Dragon Ball FighterZ. I'm going to also post the audio of my brother and I. We have a great discussion about the game. So make sure to tune into the podcast for the full review. All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com. Put your comments and feedback. Listen to our past episodes. And make sure to go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories. If you get the chance, if you have iTunes, it doesn't matter. Anywhere around the world, go to Apple Podcasts and post a review. It will help us out big time, and share it.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
February 9th, we're going to Orlando, all three of us, and we're going to have a live podcast for the first time in 13 years in front of an audience. So make sure to go there. It's at during PodFest Multimedia Expo. It's totally free to attend our session. So for more information, go to podfest.us. That's podfest.us. And a couple people already hit me up saying that they're planning to attend. Some of them are coming from, like, you know, they live in Orlando or the Tampa area and so on. Who knows? Maybe we might see a couple people from out of the state of Florida. Either they're flying in or they're driving all the way to Orlando. So if you're planning to attend, make sure to hit us up so we can get together and we'll talk, we'll hang out and stuff. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm very excited about that. Because the thing that I love about this is just meeting our community members, you know, so make sure to check it out. What else? All right, so February 25th, we're also going to have a world premiere of our documentary, Gamertag Radio, a podcast story. That's the official title of the documentary. I'm very excited about this because I've been working on this for a while. It was really hard to find a lot of old footage and pictures of us from back in the days and stuff. And Paris, I already sent it to a couple of our friends, industry friends, and man, the feedback has been really good, man. I'm happy about the product, man, overall, man. Your thoughts, you already seen the whole thing. Intro, credits, everything.
I don't want to say too much too early because, I mean, we're still almost a month away from everyone getting to see it. So I don't want to get people too hyped. But I will say that I thought it was great. It's funny that that was footage that we shot two E3s ago. A lot of the footage that you'll see in there, and then just some of the old videos and clips that you pulled in over the years. And I mean, it was like a time machine, man, going back in time and remembering those early days that got me in. But I even tweeted this, you know, it's funny. You know, I say it all the time, but this was just a big reminder that, you know, you were the inspiration that got me to podcast. That got me to start Uncle Gamer back in the, well, really the old school gamers and then Uncle Gamer back in the day. And just that friendship, you know, you and I had over the years. I mean, hell, Pete and I remember meeting Pete for the first time at CES 2008. Like, we knew of each other, but we never actually met. So that's when Pete and I met. I met his wife at that time. Were they even married then? Were they boyfriend, girlfriend? I can't remember.
I think they were still dating.
Yeah. So
I'm not sure.
This is how long ago that was. You know what I mean? And just the friendships that we made over those years. And then obviously, you know, we came together in 2013 to me being on GTR. But then that... I use the old football analogy, like they say, you know, the Bill Walsh school of coaching, like you look at the tree that has amazing coaches that came under Bill Walsh over the years. I put that on you because when I look back and think of all the people that we now see in different positions within the industry and just where they are, it all links back to 2005. It just does. I mean, you can argue it, you can fight it or whatever, but it just does because that was how you inspired people back then doing GTR and then Gamercast Network started and just all the amazing talented people that came out of that. And I think the documentary you guys will see when you watch the documentary because you'll actually see some of these people talking in the documentary and it's like, oh, wow. Yeah. Remember, we were all just, hey, let's start a podcast network and we're like, let's try and figure it out, you know? And it was great, man. It was really good. And I think people will be very, this is what I told you yesterday. You inspired me back in 2006. And I guarantee you this documentary will inspire people in 2018. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, like a whole new generation of people.
For sure.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm very excited. So yeah, tune in here live on Twitch. Make sure to tune in. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, February 25th, 2018. If you're in the West Coast, 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific. And yeah, I'm very, very excited. We're already sent it to like a bunch of our friends, you know, from the industry. And I can't wait for them to send us feedback about the movie. So yeah, tune in. All right, Paris, let's talk about this, man. You sent us this link on our private chat, man. Another game gets shut down. What happened, man?
Oh, man. Yeah, Paragon. Epic Games is shutting down Paragon. I believe, I'm doing this off the top of my head, but I believe it's April 26th or 28th, one of those two dates, but late April. They're going to shut down Paragon for good, and they're giving full refunds to everyone for like all the, you know, because it's one of those free-to-play games. So anything that you bought, you know, for the game, they're going to refund you for it fully. And part of the reason is Fortnite. They've had so much success with Fortnite. They want to put more of their efforts towards Fortnite versus continuing to support Paragon. And I'm not sure of the numbers of Paragon, how I'm sure if it was a smash hit, they wouldn't be shutting it down. So maybe it was kind of struggling a little bit financially as well. But, you know, some of our friends out here in the industry were actually huge fans of the game. You know, shout out to Mark, K-Dub and Khalif, who had actually started a podcast surrounding Paragon. And I just know so many people that were really into that game and were really following it. Andrea Renee, she was on that podcast too. They're all big into it and it just kind of sucks. Like, as soon as I saw the news from Mark on Twitter, I was like, oh no, because I know how much they love the game. So it sucks to see. It really does. I never got into it personally, so I can't speak to the game, how good or bad it was directly, but I know a lot of people are very passionate about it. But once again, unfortunately, this is just part of of the gaming industry. It happens. If certain games don't hit certain marks, they run the risk of going away, especially a game like this that was so dependent on people actually supporting it financially because it was free to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I really feel bad for the content creators, especially, you know, Khalif and a couple of the people that started their own podcasts. And yeah, man, it sucks, man. It sucks. I think years ago I heard this podcast episode from 90, go and search 99% Invisible. Awesome. Shout out to Roman Mars. Shout out to him. He had an episode about The Sims Online, how the game got shut down. And there was even like a countdown, like when it was about to end and stuff. And the community got together. There was people crying. There was people that had like a live, well, there was like a live radio show in the game of The Sims. And you hear the DJ crying and just saying like he said like this whole speech, and it's online. If you search, you will listen to it, but it's really, really sad, man. And that's how it is, man. The industry, man.
Yeah, it is.
Games
it
get really shut is. Down and they move on. And it sucks for especially the content creators and the community that it built from the short amount of time that's been live ever since the beta came out.
This is another example. I know we talked about this last week, but if you're a content creator, don't limit yourself to one game. Don't limit yourself to something that someone else owns and controls, because if that game goes away, now what? Sure, you may build an audience around it. People may love you and follow you, and you know, you're very successful during the height of that one game. But if that one game starts to tank and or get shut down, like we're seeing with Paragon, now what? What are you going to do? Keep your options open. I mean, I'm not trying to tell people how to create content. Obviously, you want to do what you're passionate about. But if you're to the point where you're doing this that, hey, this is my career, this is how I'm putting food on the table, don't take that risk, man. Make yourself dynamic is what I'm trying to say. Whereas, sure, you can be the Paragon guy. You love Paragon, but you also should be looking, dipping your toe into something else too. So that basically, I guess what they call them, variety streamers or whatever, just make yourself versatile so that, you know, if something does go away, your audience isn't going to go away with it, because they're like, oh, hey, he also does this and I like this game too, so I'll continue to follow him or her. Just things like that. Look, I don't know what I'm talking about, so don't listen to me, but that's what I would do is all I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I mean, let's see what's going to happen with Fortnite. I mean, right now it looks like this game is big for Epic, man. It's still getting a buzz. It's still top 10, top 5 streams, right? From Twitch and other places too, Mixer and another stream stuff, YouTube gaming also. So it's doing pretty good, man. It's doing really good. And the thing is, the company Epic are still updating the game. They're always adding new things that makes the game fresh, and that's what makes the people go back and start playing this, man. You know, 50 versus 50, you know, they added, of course, Battle Royale, exactly like Battlegrounds and stuff, but there's content there, man, nonstop. So that's a positive thing, man. That's really good, man. Imagine getting a game with no content and there's no updates for a very long time. Yo, people move on. People go away, man. So.
Oh, for sure.
Cool. Yeah. All right. So the next topic here. So Pyrus, I have a Monster Hunter World. Shout out to Capcom for sending me a copy. I'm loving the game. Love it. I've always been a fan of the series, Monster Hunter. I played it for the Wii U, for the 3DS. I also had it for the iPad and so on. So now this is you know, available for the Xbox, PlayStation 4, and in the future it's coming out for the PC. So I have the Xbox One version, Xbox One X, of course. And I'm loving it. Now, I'm not going to review the game here now because, you know, it's just been a couple of days and this game is so big. It's so much stuff to do. But I do want to mention this. So when there's a point in the game where you do quests and then eventually the world opens and you can start playing online, and you also meet other people online to do quests together. So, you know, I got there. I'm like, man, I'm ready to meet up, you know, with some of the people in the community of Monster Hunter and just start doing quests. for some reason, matchmaking wasn't working. I tried. I go to the quest board, select the quest. Nothing is working. It says there's no games. There's no games. I put search. I created. I've done everything. And for some reason, people can't find games, right? But then I go to the PlayStation 4 version. I'm checking out on Twitter, on Facebook, and other places, and they're not having that issue. So I just read that the developers are investigating to see what is the issue. And of course, there's going to be an update very, very soon. So hopefully we'll get that soon, by this week or so, because the game is a lot of fun. And it's always active. That was the thing that I like about this game during the Wii U days. Yo, you could go anytime during any time, and there's always people playing that game, always doing quests together. And if you don't understand the game, people will help you out and it will take you to different quests and help you find these cool items that will help you level up your character faster and everything too. So, oh, this might be quests that is very, very hard. I don't know what to do. And, you know, people will help you out, man. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm very excited. I'm very excited to do more of the quests in the game. So I'm going to probably play a little bit more today and all throughout the week too, man. So, but I so far, very positive, man. Very, very positive.
Yeah, I mean, the feedback I've seen throughout the community is people are really enjoying Monster Hunter so far. It's hitting all those check boxes, you know, for that open world cooperative type of content. I haven't picked it up yet. They've talked about the PC version. Now I'm hearing it may not come until this fall. So I was kind of trying to hold out for the PC version. So maybe I'll go grab the PS4 version or something like that. But it looks like something I definitely want to check out and play. So looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing with a lot of these games, open world games like this, it reminds me like Phantasy Star Online, a little bit of Destiny. It's not first person or anything like that. But The thing is, there's so much stuff to do that you don't know where to go, what to do first. Like it's like too much, right? So I always say this, man. And I had a conversation with my brother about this yesterday over the phone. He's afraid to pick this up. Because he knows you have to take, like, this is a game that it's going to take a lot of time,
yeah.
Right? But I told him, I go, the problem that I see with us as the us gamers is that people love to rush. They love to, like, level up so quickly. They want to finish the game so quickly. Why? Why not take your time? Like, I'm taking my time with this. Like, there's people probably, they're probably really, really far in the game. I don't want that. I want to take my time, man. With this, man, you know, I think to me it's a better experience than just rushing the game, you know. Well, you've done that, right? With Destiny, you've done the same thing like that.
No.
You was rushing it.
No. I wouldn't say rush. I guess you could say rush. How do you want to say it? I just played the hell out of. Yeah, I guess rushing. The definition of rushing is you're playing a ton of hours all at once. So yeah, I guess Destiny would be a good example of that, because I wanted to hurry up and get to the end game, you know, and play the end game stuff, be able to do the raid as an example. I don't even want to talk about Destiny, so I ain't gonna bring that up, but I can tell you right now, something I'm definitely not rushing, which is along that vein, is The Division. I'm actually taking my time with that. I'm not rushing to get to level 30 so I can get to the end game. I'm actually playing that main story, you know, and just exploring the world and literally trying to do every side mission, encounter, just every little thing that I see in the world, I'm trying to do right now, because I'm trying to get a better understanding of the game. So I actually understand how all the mechanics and the modding and everything works in it. So like I'm probably 24 hours into it now, and I think I'm level 20, something like that.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. But see, Paris, that's another thing that my brother brought up. He's like, man, I'm afraid if I buy this game too late, everybody's ahead of me. Why am I going to play it? And that's a perfect example. The Division has been out for 2 years, and you just started a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So was that the same feeling for you too? Like, man, everybody's ahead of me. I don't know if it's worth it or what.
No, because I know how that feels from the other end, again, because of Destiny, right? Whereas, you know, I'm one of the higher end players, you know, in Destiny, Whereas I can understand someone coming into it a year or two later and being very intimidated, trying to understand that everything's going on. So that's why I took the opposite approach with the division. Whereas, look, I'm not going to try and rush to get to that end game because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So instead, take your time. Take my time. Understand the game. Understand the mechanics of it. Understand how this world works. Then when I get to the end game, I'll know what the hell I'm doing from Jump Street. You know, like as an example, Pete and people from our Discord channel have offered to, quote unquote, put me in their backpack and carry me up to level 30 super quick because they're high end players. So if they play with me, we can just rush through all the encounters very quickly. Right. I was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that because I want to experience it the way someone that picked it up 2 years ago would have experienced it. Yet the advantage I have now is they actually fixed the damn game and they fixed a lot of the bugs and you know, some of the tweaks or whatever that were happening early on. Plus, there's all this additional content that they've added, you know, with all the updates the past 2 years. So I don't feel any pressure, you know, to hurry up and do a global event or an incursion or anything like that. I'm enjoying what I'm playing now. And that's just the way I look at it. Another example of a game that I would tell people to never rush through is The Witcher 3. No, I mean, you could probably rush through that game and get to the end story, you know, 25, 30 hours, right? Why though? There's so many things under the initial layer of the game that you're going to want to experience that it is truly hell. How long has this game been out now? 3 years, 4 years, something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm scared to see how many hours I put into it. And I know I've not seen everything, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree with you. But it's a different experience when I'm talking about online open world games and single player open world games. Because a single player open world, yo, you could take your time with it. You could take 10 years and still play it, go back and play it, you know? But I feel like online is different. You want to play with other people. Maybe you will meet someone within the community and it's just a different experience, man. You know?
Well, I think PvP, there's always that pressure to get good fast, right? I just think that's just as human beings, we have that. Well, I don't want to come in there and just get headshot over and over and suck at the game. So I want to get into that PvP as soon as I possibly can so that I can get good at it. Whereas I think with co-op, you don't necessarily have that pressure to want to do that, you know, and you can choose to just take your time. But unless, you know, you're trying to avoid, like, again, I guess I'll just bring Destiny up. Like Destiny, there's always that pressure to want to hurry up and get raid ready so that you can run the raid because you don't want that experience spoiled for you later. Like one of the great experiences of that is going into that raid blind and not knowing what you're doing and figuring it out for yourself versus, you know, all the top streamers and people that just rush, get in there and then they're streaming the raids and now all the encounters are figured out and there's YouTube clips and all this stuff. And then you're just going in with basically someone holding your hand along the way. Whereas, you know, like I was saying in another scenario, like The Division, I guess, I don't feel that pressure to do it because I don't think there's an in-game component that is similar to that. And then, like I said, for PvP, sure, you're going to have that pressure because you want to be able to compete. And if you wait too long, people may be too good and you can never compete. And then you're just so far behind, it becomes frustrating and you just give up on it. You know, from my opinion, that's just how I see it.
There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential. And the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
LV, our home insurance comes from the heart. It's not just about giving you a personal claims handler to take care of you all the way. It's about looking after you in other ways too. Like when you go direct to us, buy online and get a massive 25% discount. To see how much you could save with the Which Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. Online discount for new customers only. Excludes home emergency and home legal expenses.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Let me ask you, Paris, have you tried Sea of Thieves?
No, I have
not. The beta, closed beta?
I've been so busy with work that I've not had a lot of gaming time over the past week. And I know the beta's out and I know they extended it. So I tried a couple times to jump in, and both times is when they were doing server maintenance. So I was like, so I'm going to try later today.
I'll tell you this, Paris. You know, remember before I will say, yeah, it's a good game, but I don't know if it's going to be big. Like, you know, it's fun. Yo, the more that I play the game, the more I see the potential of this game being one of the best Rare games in a long time. I think since maybe Viva Pinata. And the reason why I say that is because, first, it's a different type of game. Very unique.
Mm-hmm.
Just the co-op experience of working together on the pirate ship, going to like different islands, there's different riddles and you have to figure it out, find the treasure, right? And this is the thing. This is a sneak peek. So a quest is a quest. You do that super quick and so on, right? But I could imagine, hey, this is a bigger quest, but wait, in order for us to get to that treasure, there's going to be boss battles or stuff like that. When you see other pirate ships, you don't know if they're going to go after you or not. So you're like you have to be like on the lookout the whole time, man. The other day I was playing with my friends from the American Republic. You know, we were there getting together. One person's the captain. I'm checking out to see everything is good. So I was telling him, look, let me take over, so you could handle certain things in the ship, dude. And we hit this crazy storm that it was so bad. Water were coming inside the ship. So my friends were going downstairs to, because there was water inside too. Yo, taking the water out, throwing the water out. Yo, and I couldn't control it. They were telling me where to go. The compass was going like this in circles. So I didn't know we were going north, east, what. I couldn't control it, dude. So we had to stay like that for like a good 15, 20 minutes. And then we got out the storm. We're like, oh my God, that was crazy. But it was just that whole experience, yo, we were laughing, cracking up. There was a random person that joined our game because it was only three of us, and then he came in, and he was also like, oh my God, what's going on? It was just dope, so much fun, man. I see this game being so, so big for Microsoft when it comes out, man. I just want people to give this game an opportunity, man. I personally think it's better playing this with people that you know, because the issue that I have is every time I go to like a random room, the people that they're there, they don't talk. They probably have like their own private chat or
Discord
or their own Discord, or they just don't want to talk to people. You know, a lot of people are very shy when it comes to like online gaming and stuff. But overall, dude, it's so much fun, man. So much fun.
Here's the thing that I'll warn, and we're obviously seeing it right now, you know. With Destiny 2, we saw it 2 years ago with The Division. What you're describing right now sounds like a lot of fun. Is it going to be fun 40 hours from now if that's still the same things that I'm doing? There needs to be some type of quote unquote in-game component to Sea of Thieves. And I'm not saying there isn't. I simply don't know. But what I'm saying, now that we've had more experience with these type of open world co-op experience games and where they're going, shared shooter. That's the new phrase, even though Sea of Thieves isn't a shooter. There has to be something to chase at the end. Once you get to the end of Sea of Thieves, what am I chasing post story? You know, so that would be the only thing. And again, I don't know, because I've not followed it enough to know what Rare has said about that. But that would just be my only caveat to this. Are we still talking about Sea of Thieves 9 months from now and saying that it's still fun? Are we talking about, man, it was a lot of fun early on, but then it just got kind of boring. You just kept doing the same things and da 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 da. But are 9 months from now, are we saying, man, that whole pirate challenge chase thing that you do, the global, you know, are we talking about that? Are we talking about, oh my God, I can't wait till the Sea of Thieves expansion comes out at the end of the year because they're adding this, 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 and it, you know, that's the kind of conversations I want to be having about it.
Yeah, no, and I totally agree with that. The thing that I like about all these games has been already, you know, well, not Sea of Thieves, that's just the closed beta, but like, you know, Sea of Thieves, Monster Hunter and so on. There's quests that it's probably for like single player, right? Or it's already available in the game. And then some that's on online quests, online events, that is exclusive for those that play online and so on. And maybe it might be like a temporary event and so on. I think games like Phantasy Star Online used to do that a lot during the Dreamcast days. They'd be like, okay, there's a special quest that's only available throughout this month. Go and you get like a special item and so on. And then after that, they'll take it offline. You know, like that, I could see that. So far, every time I play Sea of Thieves, it's always been a different experience. The only thing that has been kind of repetitive is just doing certain quests, you know, because remember, this is a closed beta. So when Microsoft sent me a press release about the launch of the beta and so on, they had like a video there from Rare, and they talked about that, you know, this, there's been, they've been testing this game for like a year or so with the community and stuff. And it was hard for them to choose, okay, what we should add for this closed beta for everyone once it opens up and stuff. And the reason why it was hard for them was because they don't want to put too much stuff out there because that will spoil the game. And that was the mistake that I got to see with Bungie during the first Destiny. I felt when they had that beta open to the public, they put too much stuff in there that when the retail game came out, I was like, oh, I got to do this thing all over again. You know, I love surprises. Put like a small portion. You know what I'm trying to say though, Paris?
I know what you're saying, but the reason they did is because they didn't have nothing else to freaking, that was the damn game, basically. So
the first Destiny?
Yeah. Destiny 1. That, well, I don't even, yeah. Again, we don't need to deep dive into it, but I know what you mean. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. I just like to be surprised. When sometimes I don't like playing betas because I feel like they spoil the game too much, man. Put a little something that gets my attention, and that's it. We move on. We wait for the retail game. That's all. You know? But the game is dope. I'm telling you right now, like, Rare is back, I think, in my opinion now, man, because of this game. I see the potential really big.
I really hope so, because obviously Rare is just, you know, when we talk old school stuff, Rare is that developer, you know what I mean? There's so many amazing games that they've put out over the past 25 years that, you know, I've tangent just a second. I feel like Microsoft kind of splintered them into being the Viva Pinata and, oh my God, I don't even remember what they called it now.
Kinect games.
But what was the other thing they made? The little things on Xbox Live.
Avatar.
There you go. Yeah. They became that studio when they stopped being that studio that created GoldenEye, Perfect Dark, and Cameo, you know, all these amazing games that they had back in the day. Donkey Kong Country, obviously, stuff like that. But to kind of lead into another topic of what we're talking about here with like Sea of Thieves and is it going to have legs down the road? I mean, I didn't get a chance to talk about Anthem being delayed. I basically called it. I mean, I was saying this was going to happen. It just made sense looking at what was happening with Destiny and obviously what a Division has struggled through for the past couple of years. I'm sure EA and BioWare looked at how the community has completely turned on Bungie and Destiny right now for the lack of content and features at the launch of Destiny 2. And they were probably looking at Anthem saying, we need to push this back and make sure that we are loaded with content day one, that we have a clear roadmap of content to come out post-launch, because they've already stated they're also talking a 10-year support window here for whatever this Anthem IP is going to eventually be. So you got to hook the community in day one and keep them there. You got to keep your content creators there day one. You know, that they're making content for it. They're engaging with the community. They're talking to people. And there's a lot of fun things to do. So I 100% support and applaud them delaying this game until the rumor now is probably March of 2019. Because make sure it's right. make sure you have everything that you need day one so that it is an engaging experience, so that we're not playing it for 20, 30 hours and get to the end of that and go, okay, now what? And then BioWare is going, well, we're working on things and we'll hopefully have it all out fall of 2019 or 2020. And people are going to freaking riot. They're not going to want to hear that. They're going to want compelling and engaging things to do. Make sure that your in-game economy is right. Make sure that there are things for me to chase long-term in Anthem. That's what I want from it. You know what I mean? So delay it, get it right. I'm very happy to see this, because don't rush it. Do not rush this game, because that's not what we want.
Now, because of this game being delayed, and of course we have the EA Sports games and stuff, what is going to be the big game for EA this holiday season?
I don't know. Don't know. I have no idea.
I think they don't have none, man.
I don't know. I don't think...
Unless it's that co-op shooter that they have.
The Brothers one or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
The one where the guy got on stage with Jeff Keighley and was talking crazy.
Yeah, that's the one. I think that's the... Oh, but that's more...
That's not a big game.
Indie game.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a big game.
It looks fun. It looks fun, though.
I don't think Respawn's Star Wars game is going to be ready this year.
Nope.
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know. Well, No. Battlefield. They'll have Battlefield this year. There'll be a Battlefield game.
Oh,
Battlefield
yes. 5. There is a... Oh, you're right.
Yeah,
there is a
Battlefield 5. Battlefield 5 will be their big game this holiday, which, hey, to be honest, that's a huge game, right?
I mean, it is big. It's big for them. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, Paris, we also have... Let's see what we have here. Let me see. I have a couple topics here. But, I want to know your opinion about Xbox Game Pass, because you weren't here last week, and people wanted to know what your thoughts about the Game Pass announcement.
100% all for it. I think this is great that they're doing this move with Game Pass, because it just gives you that final incentive to want to buy into it. Basically, what they're saying is, for the price of 2 games a year, Microsoft is giving you access to all of their first-party lineup, and they're going to obviously open up the back catalog that any third parties want to invest in as well. It's worth it. Just for the exclusive titles alone, that they're coming day and date for $120 a year, you're going to have all of those games. Now, the one thing that people need to understand, let's just take Halo 6 as an example. I love Halo 6 because I want Halo 6 to come out this year. But Halo 6... Yeah. Halo 6 comes out this year, you're going to get the base game in Game Pass. If you want any DLC or expansion that's paid content, you're going to have to buy that outside of Game Pass. That isn't part of the package. And that would be the one thing I would love to see them actually articulate and make that known to people, that just because you invest in Game Pass, don't expect to get all the expansion stuff for their games for free as well. Because that's how they're making money off of this thing. I can't remember if I was talking to Pete. I don't forget who I was talking to, but we're more valuable to any of these publishers as a subscriber than we are as just a single game purchaser. Or like, a lot of people will just buy their Xbox. Maybe they love Madden. They just buy Madden every year. They're not buying anything else. So now you're not getting that engagement and that chance for them to experience more games, which in turn will get them to buy the DLC and the loot boxes and all the other microtransactions that go along with that. But if you subscribe to Game Pass, then there's that opportunity that, oh, well, let me go check out State of Decay 2. I wasn't going to buy it, but part of Game Pass, I'll download it. You wind up liking it. Now you invest into that community of State of Decay 2. You see what I'm saying? So that's where they get the advantage. And I'm sure, I haven't seen this officially, but I'm sure Microsoft is like, hey, third parties, if you want to invest in the Game Pass, let's work out a deal. Bring some of your games into Game Pass as well. Like, here's a scenario I see. If you have a game, if a third party publisher has a game that's kind of struggling and not meeting the sales marks, I could see them coming to Microsoft and saying, hey, we want to add our game to Game Pass, because now people that are already subscribed to Game Pass, you're now basically telling them, here's this game for free. Maybe they now go pick it up and they like it, and now they start investing in it. That's kind of the brilliant thing about what Game Pass is. And you know, I tweeted this directly at Phil Spencer. It wasn't like he was going to respond to me on it, but I would love to see Game Pass actually become the Amazon Prime of Xbox, whereas Game Pass is included. Xbox Live Gold is included. They give you specific incentives, like a free movie every month, something like that, you know, where they tie all these things. And maybe it's $140 a month or a year, $140 a month, good googly moogly, but maybe it's like $140 a year that you're paying.
Yeah.
But look at everything that you're getting in that one subscription package, you know, and, you know, they discount each portion of it slightly, but now you're tied in as a subscriber. You're tied into the Xbox ecosystem, which in turn also does this. If you're an Xbox Game Pass owner, I should be in marketing for Xbox, I think. I'm just kidding. I don't know what I'm talking about. But but if you were now a sub into Game Pass and you're really enjoying it, you're probably going to now start picking up other games that aren't in Game Pass on Xbox, because it's now your primary way to play games versus playing on the PC or playing on PlayStation or Switch or whatever the case may be. It's that brand loyalty that this can build for them. And that's how they're looking at it as. Sure, maybe they don't make as much money up front on their first party titles, but now you're loyal to the Microsoft ecosystem because of Game Pass. And you're going to be more inclined to play a game on Xbox than you're going to play it anywhere else, is what I'm trying to say. Yep.
And I mentioned this last episode, Paris, that I think that Microsoft is all about just how many subscribers. They don't really, they probably care a little bit about the sales of the games, but I think they want to focus this more with the subscription services, like how many members will join Game Pass, because it will help them to get more money. It will help them to invest more content, exclusive content, like episodic games, right? They could do that with, like, let's say, Telltale games and stuff. And I think that this will become Netflix in the future. And for them doing this now, I wouldn't be surprised if Sony and Nintendo probably do this in the future. They're going to start adding their first-party games that comes out on day one. It's going to be available on their service.
Yep. You know? And that's my point. If this is a success, 100% Sony and Nintendo would do something similar, because why not?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Again, like I bring up the Amazon Prime analogy, think of it this way. I don't know about you, Danny, but whenever I go to buy something online, I go to Amazon first, because I know I already have my Prime subscription on there. I know that if I buy it from Amazon, I'm going to get the Prime shipping and just everything that comes with that Prime subscription that I have. You know what I mean? So it would be a similar thing here with Game Pass. If I'm tied into Xbox now, that's the first place I'm going to go to look for that new game, because my first thought is going to be, is it a part of Game Pass? I'm in. Mm-hmm. Downloaded. Yep. Let's go. Now, I heard something, and this is 100% true. I don't know if this is true, but if I subscribe to Game Pass, like, let's just take Gears of War 4 as an example, because it's a Play Anywhere title. If Gears of War 4 is a Game Pass game, I can also download it on my PC for Play Anywhere.
Oh, no, that's true.
That is true. Oh, yeah, I didn't know. I wasn't 100% sure on that. So that's great.
It only works for games that is Play Anywhere.
Right. That's Play Anywhere.
It. Yeah.
Now, that's the other thing I was even telling you. If they were to somehow figure out, and I don't think they will, because I think they want to keep this as a console incentive. But if they were to figure out a way to get the backwards compatibility game, the backwards back compat games working on PC as well, like you subscribe to Game Pass playing wherever you want. Mm-hmm. No brainer. I would get it tomorrow.
Yeah, you're in.
I will say this, though. This kind of gives me the itch to want to get an Xbox again, because these are the kind of incentive things that I see that are interesting to me. Because, okay, I go buy an Xbox, put it out there in my living room. I have Game Pass. Now I know I'm getting all the Xbox games that I can still play on my PC. But if I want to jump back and play an old 360 game or an original Xbox game or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be, I can hop on my console and play it because I'm a Game Pass subscriber. See, to me, the $120 a year is money I would have spent anyways. So I don't worry about the $10 a month that I would pay for Game Pass. I would probably just pay it all up front for a year and just be done with it, because like I said, it's something that I would probably spend on anyways. And now I have all these games and they're only going to keep adding games to it. And we know Microsoft over the next couple of years, Phil Spencer has stated they're making a commitment to exclusive titles. They're going to acquire new studios. They're going to have new IPs. So this is only going to get more valuable as we go into 2019 and 2020, as we start seeing more exclusive content on the Xbox platform. So to me, it's a no-brainer. It really is a no-brainer. If you own an Xbox and you love their first-party content, why not? Go get it.
I mean, also, Paris, we also got to talk about this, because it's a different time now with the whole industry, not only in gaming, but in music, TV, movies. It's easier now. People are used to this whole subscribing to like different services. You know, I subscribe to Spotify for the whole year and I don't buy albums anymore. I just go and just stream all the time, right? I don't go and buy movies anymore. I just go to Amazon Prime yep. Video or go to exactly. Netflix. And why not companies do that with video games? I think that's the future for our industry in gaming, right? That's going to work big time. I remember when WWE announced that they were launching their network, a lot of people were like, oh my God, that's crazy. Is it going to be cheap? Because, man, they're going to lose a lot of money, because at that time, WWE was charging, what, $60 for a pay-per-view event? But the thing that people don't notice is, yeah, it's $60, but a portion of that goes to pay-per-view. And then another, they have to pay a lot, and then eventually WWE will get parts of it too. But with the WWE Network, it's 100% profit for them. And it's the same thing with Microsoft. They are going to get 100% profit from that, man. They're not paying for the Blu-ray discs. They're not paying for the boxes, the shipping and everything. No, it's 100% profit for Microsoft. And that's why I think this is going to help them. And it's not about how many games they sell, but how many people are part of the service. And I think that's the future for gaming in general, man.
If we see Major Nelson or whoever actually put out a press release touting the Game Pass subscriber numbers, like if they go, we just hit 1 million on Game Pass, it's here to stay at that point, because if they're happy with it enough to put out a press release and kind of tout the numbers for it, like they're doing with PUBG right now. I think it just hit 4 million or something like that, right? If we start seeing those kind of releases for Game Pass, then it is the future. And for everything that you were just saying, I don't buy movies anymore. Why would I? I stream it on Netflix or get it on some kind of digital sub service, Prime, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. Just why can't gaming go there? Gaming is digital content as well. Look, Microsoft tried this back in 2013 and their messaging just stinks, right? Stunk back then. Mm-hmm. But that was the future back then. You know, we talked about this a million times. I actually liked what Microsoft was going to do with digital games, with the game sharing, that whole thing. So if this Game Pass just leads right back into that, but they do it in a smarter and a better way, as gamers, we win. We do. Yeah. You and Pete were talking about this. I don't buy physical discs anymore. I detest having a physical disc. I just get a digital copy. So I'd rather just have it on my hard drive. So Game Pass to me is just, I'm just, like you said, it's just Netflix. At that point, it's just Amazon Prime. I'm just subscribing to content I was going to get digitally anyways.
Before we go to the next topic, I want to mention this too, is that people might be worried, like, wait a minute. So the subscription, how that's going to help the industry? Is that going to hurt developers or so on? But think about it. Netflix has been investing on original content for their service for years. I think the first one was House of Cards, right? And remember, when they invest that goes for camera guys, makeup artists, everybody that work on that show, right? So everybody's getting money from that. It's helping the TV and the movie industries. Hey, they just announced, a couple months ago about that Will Smith movie, right? it wasn't like the reviews has been mixed, right? Original movie for Netflix. And because of that movie, Netflix subscriptions went up. Exactly. And they announced that they are going to, Netflix is going to invest more, and they're going to work on a sequel of that movie. Again, remember, this never even came out in movie theaters. It went straight to their service. The stocks went even up and everything. And it's a different world right now. Yes, for us old school cats, right? We're so used to going to the store and buying a disc and so on. But it's times has changed, man. Time has changed. And it's cheaper for the consumers. It's better for the industry because there's always going to be people playing those games, especially those online games. And look, Sea of Thieves. A lot of people probably never bought Viva Pinata. They never bought a lot of these games that came out throughout the years are Rare. But because of Game Pass, this might be one of the games that the most people has ever played from a rare game online because of the Game Pass. So there's a lot of good things about this, man. I don't see this as like a negative thing at all, you know? But go ahead, Paris. Sorry that I cut you off in the end.
It's been 13 years. I'm used to it. You brought up the great point, like with Netflix, like House of Cards. Forget what you might think of Kevin Spacey at this point, but House of Cards was literally created basically the algorithms of Netflix told them that people love Kevin Spacey, right? So then they basically designed this whole thing, got Fincher involved, and created House of Cards. Point of that is House of Cards was used as that incentive to get people to subscribe to Netflix, because that was the only way you could watch this original show that had Robin Wright, Kevin Spacey, all the political drama, blah, 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 blah. And like you brought up the Bright thing with Will Smith, you know, Netflix invested into that movie, into obviously all the salaries for the actors, production costs, everything. But the end result was to get more people subscribing to their platform. And it won't happen anytime soon, but that's eventually where gaming is probably going to evolve to is... It's not about, and thank God when this goes away, it's not about the Polygon reviews or whatever scores, and it's tied into Metacritic, how these developers are getting paid. The way developers will get paid will switch to where they're basically paid up front for a game, because now it's tied to the subscription service, and basically the publishers make their money on the back end with all the DLC and all that kind of stuff that you're going to pay. So ultimately, this is going to be a good thing for all of us, because now... publishers will invest early into a title. It comes to a subscription service. We invest into that subscription service, and we just get to play the games. We don't need to worry about the review scores or anything like that. Developers have less pressure on them because they're not tied into the review scores. Like Bright is a great example of this. The reviewers slammed it. Mm-hmm. They said it was, oh, it's terrible. Oh, it's a bad movie. I watched it. It's fine. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Normal people that watched it enjoyed it. Netflix, obviously, they're just looking at the real numbers. People are watching it so much so that they were like, greenlit part two. Let's go. You know?
Yeah. Right away, too. Yeah. It wasn't even like months. No, literally like maybe a week later.
Exactly. So, So to me, that's where I want to see gaming go. And that's where Game Pass is going to kind of be the linchpin to help promote this. Because like we said, eventually... I see a Sony doing it. I see a Nintendo doing it, et cetera. I could even, and it's going to be hard with third party, but I could even see on the PC side a Steam or something doing something similar. But now you're asking more third party publishers to invest into it. So that's going to be the tricky thing. I think the first party publishers, it's going to be a no-brainer for them to eventually do it. But getting third party to invest is going to be the trick to all of it. So we'll see.
Totally agree. Totally agree. All right, so let's go with... Wait. Should we go fan mail? Oh, let me... You know what?
Let me say one thing. I know we try not to announce the Twitch chat too much in the audio podcast, but I just want to say this because I see this is something that people keep talking about. There's all this worry about having multiple subscriptions. Oh, I'm going to have too many subscriptions. That's where you vote with your wallet. The best ones are the ones that are going to survive. The ones that aren't giving you enough incentive, they're going to go away. Because look at right now... you got a for video, you got Hulu, you got Netflix, you got Amazon. Listen, there's another one in there.
CBS All Access.
Yeah, CBS All Access. The good HBO has a subscription thing now. The good ones will survive. Like I don't pay for all of them. You know which one I pay for? Netflix and Amazon, because those are the two I care about. The rest of them I don't invest in. And it'll be the same thing with gaming.
Yep. Totally agree. All right, so we're going to play this review of Dragon Ball FighterZ, and once we come back, fan mail. So we'll be right back after this.
I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
At LV, our home insurance comes from the heart. It's not just about giving you a personal claims handler to take care of you all the way. It's about looking after you in other ways too. Like when you go direct to us, buy online and get a massive 25% discount. To see how much you could save with the Which Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. Online discount for new customers only, excludes home emergency and home legal expenses.
Back on the scene. This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so right now we're going to talk about Dragon Ball FighterZ with a Z right at the end. Z instead of an S. And I have my brother here, Nano. He has the game, and he's also a huge fan of Dragon Ball. Nano, what's up, man?
What's going on? Happy to be talking about one of my favorite franchises ever. Finally gets a decent game, and I'm ready to give the review.
So how you could compare this to previous Dragon Ball games, fighting games?
It's hard to compare it to any other Dragon Ball game before, because they've always it's always been traditional fighting games one on one, or just really crappy graphics, or you know, like this game plays so different. It kind of borrows from Marvel vs. Capcom in the style of 3v3 and in the way the button layout is, but you know, you can't really compare this to any other Dragon Ball game just because it's so different. It's visually, it's stunning. And it's also just really easy to pick up. You know, like any beginner can grab the game and just instantly do combos, and they get the full effect of, you know, what a pro does. You know, like a pro can do a combo into a super, and you would think it's a really hard thing to do, but it's not. This game makes it really easy, and it's very user-friendly.
So I know we were talking about this. You said that this is original content. It's not, you know, the developers getting footage from like the anime series and putting in the game. This is strictly brand new story, brand new everything, right?
Yeah, that's one thing that I enjoy. The last Dragon Ball game that was released was Xenoverse 2, and that was for multiple platforms. I think they had it for PlayStation, Xbox, Switch. That game had an original story as well, which was awesome. So that's something that Dragon Ball's been able to do really well. Like, it's a universe where you can kind of create your own storyline. You know, since now they go back and forth into time, and it's a mess. You know, with the new anime, like you're able to do a lot with all these characters. So they made a new story for Dragon Ball FighterZ, and it's original. You know, it's fun. It kind of brings back. It gives a chance for like the old characters that died off in the anime to come back and, you know, make an appearance again. So like the storyline it's well worth checking out. It's just, you know, it's not something that's really going to suck you into like buy the game. You're not buying it for the story. You know, this game has multiplayer. The multiplayer factor is what you want, and they hit it out the park. I think it's awesome. You know, online is great. The storyline is decent. And it's just visually, again, amazing.
Now, for those that are not fans of fighting games, how you can compare this to games like Street Fighter, Injustice, and so on?
All right. Injustice is more of a Mortal Kombat, I guess, fight with like button layout. Street Fighter, those games are more technical in the sense of like You can't just button mash. You know, in Fighters, there's two auto combos where you could just hit, you know, the X button, or if you're on PlayStation Square, and you could just mash those buttons the whole time, and you'll be able to pull off, you know, 10, 12 hit combos without really having to know too many moves. You know, you're just hitting one button and you can see a lot of cool stuff. Street Fighter is a lot more technical. There's certain combinations of buttons that you have to press just to even do two or three moves. You have to like practice a lot. Dragon Ball kind of, it allows a new player to just jump into the fighting world and feel like they've been playing it forever.
All right, so let's talk about the features in the game. What you could tell us about that, and what is it that you like about this too?
Okay, so I mean, I've only had, you know, as much time as anybody else has with the game, which is the past 2 days, but I've been able to do a lot. I've already completed the story mode, got through that with my kids, which was awesome. You know, they're huge Dragon Ball fans as well, so we had fun playing through the story. Online, I played the beta for the 24 hours that it was released, and it was just crap. You know, like the beta was terrible. The connection was always off. It would kick you off the lobby. So I had already, I had gotten a sense of how the game felt online, but I was hoping that they would fix that by the time the real release came out. And yeah, they did. You know, they improved it big time. The matchmaking system, it still takes a while for you to find a match. You know, you're going to be waiting in between 2 to 5 minutes to like kind of match up with somebody, unless you're in a really full lobby and it has a great connection. That's not always the case. But, you know, like you're able to do arena matches with your friends, start little mini tournaments, invite, you know, 5 to 8 friends into a lobby. You guys could watch each other play while two people are having a match. You could also start up another match within that same lobby and kind of have two games running at the same time. You know, like the training mode, there's combo systems, things for you to do. There's loot boxes in the game. So they added a lot of content into this one fighting game, which I think will add to the longevity of and not kind of just let this thing die off. Because Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite was kind of a bust. And, you know, I think players were lacking, where they felt like that game was lacking some type of like depth, you know, and it didn't really drag people into the fighting world again. You know, like Street Fighter V, I think, was another dud. They screwed up making it PlayStation only. At least Dragon Ball is available on multi-platform. It has a very diverse online world. You know, there's a lot you could do. As far as in comparison to Street Fighter, you know, you're not going to get the same technicality in skill level with players, but it's something that you could play with anybody. And I think that in itself would, like, it would just give more longevity towards this game and allow more people to come in and not be so afraid of fighters, you know? Fighting games are kind of, it's a scary thing, you know? Like, you watch all these pros play, and you'll never have a chance. But this game gives you a chance. It gives you a fighting chance in this world.
I know you mentioned about doing 8-player tournaments. You could do that with your friends and stuff. The cool thing is you could also spectate. If, let's say, you lose a tournament, you could watch to see who wins at the end. It reminds me of a game that came out for the Xbox 360, and I believe PlayStation 3. It was it's like table tennis from Rockstar Games. They have like tournaments, and at the end, if you lose, you could still spectate the game. So you could do that right with Dragon Ball.
Honestly, I think I had more fun. I mean, you know, it's always better to play, but I had way more fun watching matches with, you know, the other people that are waiting in the lobby, and we're all cheering on whoever we want to win. You know, the graphics in this game are amazing. Like the 3D cell animation is flawless. Like, I think they did a great job, you know? Like, it looks just like the anime. So you're watching all these matches and, you know, you're cheering on for your friend to win, and it's just, you're having a lot of fun watching this because it looks like the cartoon. It looks like an anime, you know? But, you know, I think the spectating mode is great. It's smooth. There's not much, I haven't run into too much lag. You know, I've had one or two matches that the frame rate gets a little messed up and the game is kind of unplayable. But it's far and few in between, you know, like it's rare to find one of those matches. And this game allows you to go into multi-lobbies. So, you know, you can go into the Asia lobby or North American, South American lobby and play with different, you know, people from around the world in different regions. So that's always fun. You know, you're kind of risking the connection rate, but, you know, it's fun to play with different people, and watching matches is awesome. And there's a replay lobby, so you can watch the top players in the world, see how they do it. You know, if you're really trying to get better at this game, watch that and see how they play. if you can keep up with it, awesome, because like it's really high speed. You know, this game is fast.
So can you still get experience points, like your character level up, like your profile levels up based on the eight player tournaments, or is only could do that with ranked matches?
No, when you play private games like arena matches, they're called arena match. When you play those private games with your friends, you don't affect your rank or your wins and losses, but you do get like medals. For every win you have, you get a medal. So it gets posted on your like your player card. So you'll see how many times a player has had arena matches, how many games he's won. And you can kind of get a sense of like, oh man, this guy has 40 medals. That means he plays a lot with his friends, but his ranked record is only 10 wins out of 25 games. You know, he doesn't play too much ranked, so you kind of see where people like to play. I don't think I haven't run into too many people with like really high ranked records, but a lot of people have arena matches, like a crazy amount of medals. So that just means that a lot of people are having these private matches and they'd rather play with their friends than go online and play rank. Personally, I'm more of a rank type of guy, but I want to practice more before I start getting out there and get my butt whooped.
So my last question, why do you think people should buy this game, man?
Personally, if you grew up with Dragon Ball like I did, I've been watching it since I was like 4 years old. So this is like a Dragon Ball fan's dream, you know? Like this is the game that we've been waiting for as far as graphics, gameplay, you know, it gives you an immersed online universe where you can do whatever you want with your friends. You know, it's so easy to just pick up and play. That gives a lot to the game, and it's in credit to like the developers. They really kept that in mind. You know, like fighters are tough. Not everybody's gonna go pick up Street Fighter V and be a pro. You know, like, but in Dragon Ball, you could pick up the game, pick your three favorite characters from the anime, and just feel like you're doing great because it's easy to play. You know, it's an easy game to play, but it's very inviting to anybody, you know, whether you're a fan of fighters or not. The fighting game genre needed a game like this. And I think with like Marvel vs. Capcom, Infinite, and Street Fighter V, kind of like, I don't want to say it flopped, but they didn't do great. You know, this game kind of brings back more fans to the fighting game genre. And it looks great. You know what I mean? Like, if you get a chance to, if you know somebody that has the game, just try it out. You'll fall in love with the animation and the fighting style in the first one or two matches that you have. So it's a game that I recommend to anybody and everybody of all ages. It's fun for, you know, to play at home with your friends, or, you know, to go online and play with, you know, multiple people that if you want to make some new friends, the game is well worth the $60. I as far as the packages that they offer, because they have three versions. They have like the collector's edition, the limited edition, and the regular day one edition. If you want to shell out an extra $100 for a game just to get an extra, like it brings like a figurine, a Goku figure. It looks awesome. I'm just not going to pay $110 for a game. But I got the regular day one edition, which is $60. I pre-ordered that, and it came with two extra characters that are unlockable in the game. But if you were to pre-order it, they give you the download code, so you don't have to go through the arcade mode and go through the challenge of unlocking those characters. It's a game that I suggest. I'd give it like at least a 9 out of 10. And that maybe I'm going a little, you know, I'm a little bit of a fanboy of Dragon Ball, so I'm giving it a high score. But this is the greatest Dragon Ball game ever made, and probably I want to say one of my top five fighting games, like not of all time, but of at least the past like 5-6 years. There hasn't been a good fighting game in a long time, and this is really bringing me back to the genre.
All right, last thing, man. If people want to play with you online, what's the best place to contact you, man?
Oh, I'm on Xbox, so Nano551 is my gamer tag. If you feel like getting a good old fashioned beatdown, hit me up. I try and get on with all my friends all the time, and we're always running lobbies. So if you guys are, you know, if you're having a hard time finding people to play with, I'm inviting everybody that listens to the podcast, join up. We'll be friends. I don't know how big of a lobby you can create, but if we can get up to 100 people, let's do it. You know what I mean? Like I love playing this game, and I'm pretty sure you'll love it too. So pick up the game, add me, Nano551. Peace.
All right. So Adam, Nano. And the number is 551 on Xbox Live. All right, thanks, Nano.
Peace out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're back here, and it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, Paris, we have two voicemails, and let's play it, man. Pick whatever you want.
Let's play the first one right now.
Hey, what's up, guys, at Gamertag Radio? Danny, Pete, and Paris. Good to hear from you guys. I just got done listening to 730, your episode 730, about all these consoles and whatnot. And it really got me thinking, would Microsoft end up just scrapping the Xbox altogether and then switching over to PC so they have a more powerful system to go off of? Because I remember playing Halo and whatnot and Fable all on the PC rather than on the Xbox itself. Honestly, I believe it would be a better business model, since even Paris himself has been playing on that instead of the console. I think they would have better access to more powerful games and jump on top. They would be going with the quote-unquote master race of the gaming world. Honestly, I believe that would be one of the better things for them to do for their new business model. Since PlayStation's on top, might as well piggyback on something that's just as more powerful. And on top of that, you can have much more widespread indie games and whatnot. Anyways, that's just my personal opinion. You guys have a great day. Enjoy the show. Love you.
All right. So no, they're not going to do that.
That would never happen.
Because the whole point of a console is for people that don't want to invest in building their own PC and, like me, be shuttered off in an office somewhere playing games. Consoles meant to be out in the living room for the entire family to enjoy, right? So consoles will never go away. And to his whole thing of high-end gaming and the quote-unquote master race and all that, that's the whole point of the Xbox One X and PS4 Pro, right? These higher-end consoles that can do 4K gaming and the like. So, no, I don't see that going away anytime soon. If anything, by the time we get to the next Xbox and the next PlayStation, they're going to be even more quote-unquote PC-like as far as their performance goes. And you're going to have these higher-end experiences on there. Monster Hunter, as an example, right now, Xbox One X, the enhanced version that just came out, the three different modes that they're giving you right now, you can have a performance mode, you can have frame rate mode, graphics mode, you know, the whole thing. So they're already pushing more towards PC on the console side. The Witcher 3 enhanced, that's on Xbox One X. Trust me, if I did not have a PC, that damn near would be a reason for me to go get an Xbox One X, because it's doing HDR, it's in 4K, it looks fantastic, which is the whole point of me buying a PC in the first place. So we're getting there already on console.
And remember, too, the regular consumers, they will go to the store and they're not going to go and buy a PC for gaming. They'll go and buy a console. Console sales and console, even games for consoles, they sell more than the PC version.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Most of the time, you know. So, yeah, the console business is not going to go away at all. At all. Zero. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And if they do, they're crazy.
I know I'm all pro Microsoft today, but what the hell is wrong with the world, right? But Xbox Play Anywhere. I mean, That's the whole point of that. I play Xbox games on my PC. So, again, Microsoft wouldn't have the incentive to just get rid of the console altogether. They're going to keep it because more people play on a console than on a PC when it comes to their titles. And I don't see them all of a sudden telling everyone, hey, you need to go invest $1,000+ and build a high-end rig instead of the $500 one we're giving you with Xbox One X, or even the $200 version we're giving you with the One S. So, no, I don't see it happening anytime soon, if at all. I think consoles are here to stay.
And let's be real, man. It's not always about power, man. It's about the content.
The Switch proves that.
Switch, exactly. And I read that the Switch sales, I think it outsold Xbox One in Spain.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it.
It's not about power, guys.
The Switch was the best gaming platform of 2017. I think we've said that many times. So that right there proves that you don't need the high-end master race PC to enjoy gaming. You know, you can do it on a Switch.
Exactly. All right, Paris, let's play the next voicemail.
All right, let's play the second voicemail right now.
What's going on, Gamertag Radio? It's your boy Jacob from Charlotte giving you guys a call again. Quick question. Well, not that quick of a question, but with the upcoming release of Black Panther, the movie in theaters, you know, it's selling out and everything in these uber-popular comic book movies, where are all the comic book video games at? You don't really see them that much anymore. Back in the day, you know, it was 15, 20 of them out at a time. You know, you couldn't even keep track of them all. But now you rarely get them. A few Batman games here and there, but I must be missing something. Injustice, you know. But, you know, you don't get as many superhero tie-in games as you would think you'd get. My question for you guys is, with the popularity of these comic book characters, who would you like to see most in a video game done justice with these new consoles? Thanks. Once again, keep up the fantastic work. Love you guys.
All right. Thank you for that voicemail. And he's right. It's been basically Batman or bust for the past 10 years or so as far as any kind of comic book, you know, video game movie. I almost called him Eidos, but Square Enix is working on the Marvel, the Avengers titles. So they're coming out. So that, I mean, let's see. I would assume at E3, we're probably going to get more of a look at what that's going to be, especially since Infinity War would have just come out at that point. Who I'd love to see, I would love to see them actually do a Superman game the right way. I've said it a million times. He is probably the hardest character to put on film slash in a game, number one, just because of his power set. I got a feeling it'll be a Marvel character that'll get done that'll rival what they've done with the Batman series. Which Marvel character, I'm not sure just yet, but I think, what am I thinking? Spider-Man.
I was about to say
Spider-Man's
that.
Coming out this year. What am I thinking? That's probably the one right there. And what we've seen so far from Insomniac has been amazing. I cannot wait for that. If anything, and you call me crazy, Danny, you will anyways, but call me crazy. might be the biggest game of 2018.
Oh, no. I think by far it is going to be.
Yeah.
That
might be the biggest game. Yeah.
Yeah. But I know that a couple years ago during the 360 game, 360 days, there was a lot of superhero games. A lot of them were kind of whack, but I think there was one that was really cool that I think it was published by Activision. It was a Wolverine game. I can't remember. Oh my God. It came out during yes. the time that one of the movies came out, and it wasn't actually from the movie.
Nope.
It was like a separate story, separate thing.
It was,
but it was one of the best one.
Yes, it was literally a God of War clone, and it was fantastic. One of the most, probably the most underrated comic book game ever made was that Wolverine game. It came out with Wolverine, that first Wolverine movie, the solo one.
Yep,
that's when it came out. It was tied into that. Yeah, it was great. It was great. Hey, maybe that'll show up on Game Pass. People go play it.
yeah, but I think why a lot of people stop buying video game games based on movies is because there was a lot of crappy ones, and it's like, really, why would I go and buy this? Because most likely these developers, they rushed it so it could come out the day of when the movie comes out too. But when you buy and start playing, you're like, man, this is kind of waste of money, man. Why should I buy the next one after that? You know, that's what happened with Spider-Man. They came out so many times during the Activision days. I think personally, the Marvel games, like the Lego Marvel games, those are pretty fun.
Yes.
Those are cool.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we'll see. I think, I hope that when this game comes out, Spider-Man for the PlayStation 4, I hope it changes things. I hope that will influence a lot of these companies to start working on other superhero games and take their time with it instead of, oh my God, we have to release it now. The movie's coming out. Like, I think that hurt all these games that came out in the past too, man, because of that.
100% agree. I agree with everything you're saying on that.
Yep. So anything else, Paris, before we wrap it up?
I think that's about it. I mean, you know, like I said, I haven't had a chance to play Sea of Thieves yet. It's looking like now I'll probably have to accelerate me getting Monster Hunter because I don't think I want to wait until the PC version comes out. That seems like it's going to be too far away. I got something because I'm literally still catching it on Twitter over this. I had said,
okay,
God, this was probably Monday or Tuesday of last week. Mm-hmm. I said, call me crazy. I love that word, I guess. But Ubisoft is the best third-party publisher in the business right now. And I just listed all the games that have just come out in the past 12 months, not even going past that, just games that have come out in the past 12 months. And I included Far Cry 5 into that as well. And it's like, if you look at that lineup and look at what they've been doing just in the past year, not to mention what they potentially have coming up on the horizon, what other third-party developers doing it better right now was my point. And it's literally been 50-50 people agreeing with me and people just angry that I would say such a thing. But the only other third-party publisher that comes close, in my opinion, and again, this is all opinion preference, no, not saying it's right or wrong, would be Bethesda. You know, looking at what Bethesda's done. But just when I think of the games that I play right now, and look, full disclosure, we've obviously have access to a lot of Ubisoft stuff. And I'm trying to not have bias when I say this. I'm just trying to look at this logically. I play a lot of Ubisoft games. I do. And because I want to play them. You know, we get a lot of games to review, you know, but if I don't like the game, I stop playing it. But I find myself still playing a lot of Ubisoft games. So that's what made me kind of think of that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Paris, I 100% agree with you because, dude, they're still updating games that came out over 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you could buy that game right now for cheap, like for example, The Division, Rainbow Six, and so on. Look at even Mario Rabbids for the Switch. They're still adding DLC content for the Switch. So, yeah, they're doing a pretty good job. You know, usually a lot of these other publishers, a lot of these other companies that has been out now for a couple of years, they just announce new games, but they're not really updating their games like Ubisoft. Rainbow Six has been getting crazy updates for free, and you can still buy that game for cheap.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun.
You know what they did? They actually had raised the price on buying Rainbow Six because, again, it's super popular right now. So they raised the price. And then obviously someone in marketing got smart and said, no. Lower the price back down because it goes back to what we were saying with Game Pass. Ubisoft is going to get more traction getting as many people as possible buying Rainbow Six versus the short term thing of we can make an extra $5 or $10 on the initial retail sale, because now you're going to want to buy any DLC that comes with it. You get invested into their whole seasonal roadmap and the multiplayer tournament. All that stuff is more valuable to Ubisoft for Rainbow Six than someone buying the game for $29.99 instead of $19.99. at this point, you know what I mean? You look at Ghost Recon right now, they're adding another multiplayer mode to it. Obviously, all the support that they've been putting into The Division lately, you know, the 1.8 update, global event stuff, you know, they're continuing to support the titles. And Assassin's Creed has their new DLC about to come out, you know, Assassin's Creed Origins. It's like on and on, like you brought up Rabbids, but it's like when I just look at these games on and on and on, I'm seeing them being supported, and I'm seeing them be supported the right way. Whether you like the game or not, I'm just looking at what the publisher is doing to keep people engaged into their games, and I think it's brilliant, number one. Mm-hmm. And let's be real, 2 years ago, we would not be saying this because a lot of Ubisoft games were having a lot of problems. They were buggy as hell at launch, lacking of content, lacking of support. So I don't know what happened with that publisher, where the mandate came from, but they've been doing it the right way. They really have in the past year and a half. And I want to see more publishers doing this. I'm not trying to say I'm just the Ubisoft fanboy. I want EA to get their stuff together. You know, I want 2K to expand on what they're doing. The list goes on. You know, like I said, the closest would be Bethesda. And the only reason I didn't put Bethesda first is because, like, Fallout 4 to me was a disappointment. I didn't get into Dishonored 2, which is a back catalog thing I need to go back and play. Wolfenstein 2 is fantastic. Don't get me wrong. Prey ultimately was a disappointment for me, but they support their titles almost as well, if not better, than what Ubisoft is doing too. But it's just, I'm just giving my personal preferences why I lean towards what Ubisoft is doing right now. But as a gamer, again, we win. We all win. You don't have to like what they're doing, but the fact that they're doing it, we all win, because it's going to force other publishers to do the same exact thing. And that's all.
But my question is to you, why those that are mad at you, why they disagree with
because,
you? I don't get it.
Because I basically like something that they didn't like. And that's been the brunt of it. People just mad. Oh, well, The Division sucks. Rainbow Six sucks. Ghost Recon sucks. And I'm looking at the online numbers right now, and they say this. And it's like, okay, I'm just giving my opinion. I don't respond to any of that nonsense, but it's just like, okay. All right. But you don't have to agree with me. It's fine.
See, they got to do research, because if the online, let's say online is not that many people playing, let's just say it's true. 100% true, right? Then why Ubisoft is still investing in those games and they're still adding free updates? Why? Why is that?
Yeah, well, it was so-called
failure.
I know, right? Because like, wasn't Ghost Recon at one point the number one selling game of 2017? I know Call of Duty surpassed it at the end, but it's for sure was in the top five of the year, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, as an example, you know, obviously look at the high praise that Assassin's Creed Origins got, like, over, you know, in other words, they fixed the franchise. Now Assassin's Creed is reinvigorated again. Obviously, look, Ubisoft could have walked away from The Division a year ago, you know, a year and a half ago, and said, you know what, we effed up, screw it, let's just work on the sequel and fix it then. But they stayed with it, and they've I'm playing it now. You know what I'm saying? Whereas I refused to even touch the game at launch because I could see the problems before it actually came out, but they stuck with it. Rainbow Six is another classic example. That game was DOA 6 months into its life. They stuck with it and fixed it. Now it is one of the most popular multiplayer games in esports right now. This is what I'm saying. You know, this is why I was giving them the praise that they're getting, because like you just said, they stuck with the games. And if they did have problems early on, they fixed them and they figured out a way to get the community re-engaged into those games. So bravo to them.
See, I think EA should start doing that with their sports games. Instead of releasing it every year, release a game and then update it every year, and you have a brand new game every year. I think that works. Or like they have EA Access, add that to EA Access, be part of the subscription services, and you would get brand new updates of all these sports games every year.
Yep.
It makes sense for companies to start doing that.
Yep.
Right? So, all right. Great conversation, Paris. Great conversations, man. Great topics, everything, man. All right, head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories. Make sure to also send us questions, voicemail, because I love doing fan mail episodes, man. So ask us questions. Hey, you never called before? This is your opportunity to be part of the show. And a lot of other people that have been calling, keep it up. I just love answering questions, man.
Send us your feedback or questions. Yeah. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Also, remember February 25th, brand new documentary about Gamertag Radio is coming out for free on Twitch. You can watch it live. Go to twitch.tv/gamertagradio and you could watch it live, man. It's pretty cool. It's called Gamertag Radio, a podcast story. Also, February 9th, we're going to be in Orlando. So if you're in the Orlando area, go over there and watch us live. Live podcast for the first time in front of an audience. The whole Gamertag Radio crew is going to be there, man, during PodFest. Go to podfest.us for more information. That's podfest.us. Or if not, hit me up, Godfrey@gamertagradio.com, and I'll give you more information about that, man. Anything else, Paris, before we head out?
No, I think that's it, man.
And we're out. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Gamertag Radio is on radio.com.
You can now watch Gamertag Radio live on Twitch.
Get all the latest news and coverage related to the gaming industry.
Join hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo.
Don't miss the crew record the podcast live Sundays, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, or Wednesdays, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Get involved with the conversation, send us questions, and be part of the show.
Gamertag Radio.
Follow us, twitch.tv/GamertagRadio.